If you got good beer, here a little tip that I would like to relate. I said, man, fish.
Yeah, all right. While Taj is relating his tip, we'll relate our tips. I'm here with Leif Seeberg. How you doing, Leif?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Depp?
I am good. Time for a little fish report.
Yeah.
And we got a couple different angles. I mean, we've got a river angle, and now we've got high mountain lake angles. I'm guessing that you've done both since I saw you last, right?
Yes, I have. You know it. I mean, if there's fishing to be done, I'm doing it. And my buddy Thomas and I got up up to Varden Lake there. That was my second time going in there, and you know, ever since going there a long time ago with my buddy Matt, I've been wanting to go back because we did it in a day, and not only is that a little bit tough because it's just a hard hike, but it's tough to walk away from that place. You really want to just stay and spend some time there. It's beautiful.
And so
beautiful,
you,
and great fishing.
And so that's what you did this time.
Yeah, Thomas and I stayed the night up there.
Cool.
And you know, and it's good we did, because holy cow, there was this short window between 7 and 9 o'clock, or really, you know, we fished until it was dark, which was about 9:15, and greatly better during that period of time. Varden is just kind of a shallow lake. Its mean depth is probably like 10 or 12 feet, and it gets really bright in that bowl. The sun is really intense. It's right overhead on that bowl. And so I think they just kind of hide out for a lot of the day and don't really like to come out unless you really try to track them down in their little hiding spots, which we kind of did with mixed results throughout the day. But man, that evening bite was amazing.
Really? What sort of underwater structure is there in that lake?
Well, it's really different in the way I've only seen a few lakes like this. It's almost flat on its bottom. It's got a slightly deeper end to like the southwest, I think it is.
Is it all rock?
No, it's all silt. It's like just a sandy, kind of muddy silt that comes from that fine debris that comes down in the avalanches, the dirt off the side of the hills and whatnot. Okay. But then along with those avalanches, it's deposited a bunch of trees, like full-size trees laying on the bottom. So it's if it weren't for that, there'd be zero structure. It'd look like a sandy bottom.
Well, that's what I'm wondering about.
Just perfect.
I mean, you said the camping sites were also soft, which is unusual up there in those rocky places.
Yeah, a lot of heather.
Yeah, so again, some dirt is actually coming off. So it's got a regular type bottom, or not just some sort of barren, sterile bottom.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is, like, you know, I mean, you see Silver Star, like, right there as you're heading over the small pass between Mudhole and Varden. And I think it's just kind of typical in that meringue-like pile that you get by glaciers.
Meringue?
How do you say it? Meringue? Whatever.
It sounds like you said meringue, which is like on top of a pie.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I think you meant meringue,
yes,
though.
Yes, meringue, yes. And so
it was just too good. I had to stop.
Yeah, it would have been, it would be great if they're all like a fluffy
meringue.
Yeah. But no, it's it really has like that pile out, like you see at the bottom of glaciers like that. And I think just some softer sediment kind of has a chance to hang out right there.
How big is that lake? I've never been up.
I'm no good with acreage, but I think it's something on the order of 10 to 12 acres.
Oh, really? It's a small lake.
Yeah, it's fairly small.
You hear about it, it's because it's beautiful, and it's a reward for the work you do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, after doing all these hikes, I really appreciate a hike that not only kind of puts you right at it, you know, doesn't really waste your time with a bunch of switchbacks, but also gives you good views. And this thing, you see Cedar Creek, well, I guess immediately as you're humping up out of the thing and coming up to the shoulder in the ridge, you see back into Mazama really well, and up onto Goat Peak. And then as you get over onto the shoulder and head down the ridgeline, you see way up into Cedar Creek, and you see the backside of Mount Gardner, Abernathy, Lamont, and Gilbert on the other side there in Twist River. You can kind of see over that Cedar Creek pass to Twist River. There's just so many views.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. And it keeps you going.
You know, and one thing you did before we got on the air, we were talking about this little trip you guys took, and you did what I think is the ultimate reward. You pack a little bit of goodies with you. You catch some fish. You're going to stay overnight.
Absolutely.
And you have a great evening up there in an amazing spot.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we, Thomas and I kind of like to, and a few of my buddies that I pack with, like to try to, not like one up each other, but try to impress each other with the, you know, the high class items we put into our pack sometimes, like I was saying, snob cheese or some nice stinky cheddar.
I love cheeses.
The steak, you know, try to make it up there with a couple eggs or some homegrown tomatoes, not squished or broken. you know, just those things. And
it makes you feel like you're the richest man on earth.
Yep,
isn't it?
It's pretty high class. Yeah. You know, if somebody else was carrying it for me, maybe I would be the rich guy. But since I am the porter and the hero of the story, then yeah. I guess it's that's fine with me.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm guessing also that you did not pack any float tubes. You guys were doing this from the shore.
We were. And
is that a lake worth packing in?
Absolutely. Because we did, we dropped quite a few obscenities at the trees behind us. Mm-hmm. It gets a little frustrating sometimes when you got just a great fish swimming right by you and you try to go for that quick cast and just ends up in the top of one of those high alpine shrub pines or whatever, and they just don't let go.
I think I hear another trip brewing in your...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm wanting to take a float tube back into that one, and I've got... I've got my list for other hikes that I want to do this summer. I'm hoping to get my boys out there, maybe on the next one. And so.
Well, you know, that was something I was going to ask you. Part of this sounds like a pretty steep hike, but you think the kids could get in there?
Not on that one. It's pretty brutal. And I would, for somebody that hikes all the time, they'll probably do it. I don't want to say no problem, but they will be able to. But if I would put out the warning there to just know your skills, know your physical ability level, because when it's hot out there, like on that trail especially, you could get overheated really easy. For that matter, I recommend leaving super early on trails like that because it's a ridgeline. There's no water until you get to Mudhole Lake. So just, it gets a little bit more real than I think some people think when you get out there sometimes. So even... in the case of those rock screes, just always slow down. Just know where you're at physically.
Yeah, but still, if you're able, get into the mountains.
Absolutely.
I mean, we live so close. It's one of the major blessings of life around here.
And I've talked about it with a few of my friends lately, including Thomas and just some others, that it's really a soul cleansing thing to do. It really just helps you prioritize what's important in your life and just come back kind of refreshed and ready to kind of get back to it, I feel like.
Awesome. That's a great idea.
If anybody wants to check that out, I got a blog put up about that one with some pictures.
Oh,
and
cool.
If you need any information about the route or anything, I've included it in there, or you can always give me a call on it too.
Okay, nice. So, mountain lakes, they're there waiting for you. River?
Still here.
Got some different hours imposed on it nowadays?
Yeah, it's still here. It's just barely still above ground.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you.
we are on to the hoot owl restriction now that we were talking about coming in last week. And, it's just fine to me because I've been still just finishing off right about that 11 o'clock at the very latest myself. Really, I've seen a big change to where it's kind of wanting to slow greatly down at about 9 or 10 o'clock. But with that also, holy cow, the 5:30, 6 until about 9 o'clock in the morning has been absolutely incredible. And I've been kind of just starting that one out, working dun patterns and then kind of working into some bigger ones like the Chernobyls to kind of make it look like the golden stoneflies that we have out here. And then by about that latest hour or two, then I'm trying to throw those hoppers at them. And holy cow, we've had some really nice fish lately. And it's
window. That's the bonus is there's a major hopper going on.
Yeah.
And so they're hungry. Are they, I'm guessing that there's some holes they're abandoning and going to the deeper holes.
Absolutely.
And so you're not finding them everywhere.
Yeah, you're seeing kind of a concentration in those holes. Like we experience in the wintertime, and we've talked about it before, midsummer and midwinter have that same... kind of thing where the fish will gather into those key holes either for stable warmer water or in this case cooler water. And so we're kind of, if you know those holes, then you're having great success right now. But with that, I would always warn people just same thing as last time, just get them in quick, let them go quick, and just be careful with them. Still using 3x tippet on my hoppers, and I have not had one come up and snub me because of seeing the line or anything. So you can bring them in nice and quick that way.
That's the nice thing of the feeding frenzy mentality.
Right.
Like you don't booger them too easy because they see that and they just kind of go crazy. So even though the official cutoff time for the main stem we're talking of the metow is 2 o'clock, really that's probably beyond what you want to be out there anyway. Get out there early.
And you probably just won't even catch much between 12 and 2 anyway. And if you do, you're taking a chance of stressing those fish out. So, if you need any more info on any of these things, Varden Lake River how it's doing or if it's open. Just check out the webpage. I want to give a shout out to my friends Tony, Kiki, and Chris. We had some great trips last week, and I look forward to seeing them back. And hey, everybody have fun out there. Give me a call if you want to get into a trip yourself. 429-7298. We'll get our fish on. Gonna fish it, my mama gonna fish it, baby gonna fish it too.